Hello and welcome to another edition of the Byron York Show, the No Chit Chat podcast. We'd like to get right into it today, and what we're going to get into is something you might call Biden's transgender decree. And this involves the Biden administration and transgender policy, especially involving young people. It's mostly about young people. But I want to begin by saying, you know, one way to shut down debate on a contentious topic is to declare that there is no debate on that topic. Everybody, absolutely everybody agrees with one side. So why are you even trying to argue? It's settled. All right. So this is kind of a common tactic that's used, especially in contentious matters, and especially when it is not, in fact, settled. So the Biden administration is doing that right now on what officials call gender-affirming care for young people who believe they are transgender. I'm going to read you a quote from Dr. Rachel Levine, who is the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health, the highest-ranking transgender person in the Biden administration, talking to NPR. So this is what Dr. Levine said. There is no argument among medical professionals, pediatricians, pediatric endocrinologists, adolescent medicine physicians, adolescent psychiatrists, psychologists, etc., about the value and the importance of gender-affirming care. There is no argument. So that's Dr. Rachel Levine of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. The next day, that was on Friday that Levine said this to NPR. On the next day, on Saturday, Levine made the case in a longer speech at something called the Out for Health Conference at Texas Christian University. So there is no argument among medical professionals about the value and the importance of gender-affirming care. Now, what is gender-affirming care? It's a phrase being used a lot by the administration now. And a month earlier, at the end of March, the administration observed something called the International Transgender Day of Visibility. And Dr. Levine and the Department of Health and Human Services released an information sheet on what they call gender-affirming care for young people. So I'm going to read the description from the department. For transgender and non-binary children and adolescents, early gender-affirming care is crucial to overall health and well-being, as it allows the child or adolescent to focus on social transitions and can increase their confidence while navigating the healthcare system. Okay, that's from the Department of Health and Human Services on its gender-affirming care fact sheet. So the sheet included a chart. Maybe you've seen it. I've tweeted it a few times, I think, detailing gender-affirming care and defining gender-affirming care. And it listed four specific types of care with a definition of what they are and a comment on whether or not they are reversible. Now, the first type of gender-affirming care was what they called social affirmation. Social affirmation. So it's not surgery. It's not chemicals. It's social affirmation. It defined that as, quote, adopting gender-affirming hairstyles, clothing, name, gender pronouns, and restrooms and other facilities. Now, that can be done at any age or state, according to HHS. They also, in this chart, they suggest what age these treatments might be used. It can be done at any age or state and is reversible. Now, there's certainly a lot of debate about the wisdom of such efforts. You know, there's been huge debates about bathrooms, for example. There's a lot of debate about it, but they are, in fact, reversible. This is mostly what you might call therapy, and it's quite reversible. Now, the three other approved treatments that the department listed are not reversible, and these are for young people. Puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and, quote, gender-affirming surgeries. I remember the reason we're going through this is because Dr. Rachel Levine has declared that the argument is over. There is no argument about the wisdom of these treatments. So going back to the HHS, which is Dr. Levine's agency, HHS chart, puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and gender-affirming surgeries. The chart defined the first one of those, puberty blockers, as, quote, using certain types of hormones to cause pubertal development. It recommends these, amazingly enough, during puberty. It called such treatment reversible. Was it reversible? I mean, there's great debate about that. I am not a doctor. I am not a scientist, but I do know that there is great debate about this. In any event, I mean, it's hard to see how delaying the age at which a child reaches puberty can be reversed, since the child will never be that age again. Anyway, HHS calls it reversible, but that's the first of the actual medical treatments, puberty blockers. Now, the next one, HHS defined hormone therapy as, quote, testosterone hormones for those who were assigned female at birth, end quote, and, quote, estrogen hormones for those who were assigned male at birth, end quote. Recommended this from, quote, early adolescence onward, and it labeled this partially reversible. Here again, there's a lot of debate about whether it is even partially reversible. So the final gender-affirming care category was gender-affirming surgeries, which HHS defined as, quote, top surgery to create male typical chest shape or enhance breasts, end quote, or, quote, bottom surgery on genitals or reproductive organs, end quote, or, quote, facial feminization or other procedures. Now, such measures are, quote, typically used in adulthood or case by case in adolescence. And seems pretty obvious, but HHS did say that they are not reversible. Okay. Remember, Dr. Levine says there is no argument about this. The argument is, if there was one, it's over. There's no argument about the value and importance of these treatments. But in fact, all three of them, puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and gender-affirming surgeries are very controversial. You know that. Just look at some of the commentary from an organization called the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine, which is made up of the type of medical professionals to whom Dr. Levine referred. I'm going to read you from the group's own words. They're an international group. There's more than 100 of them. They're, quote, clinicians and researchers concerned, doctors, clinicians and researchers concerned about the lack of quality evidence for the use of hormonal and surgical interventions as first-line treatment for young people with gender dysphoria. Okay. If you want to see what their approach is, I can't read you the whole thing, but the HHS fact sheet that I was just talking about, the information sheet, perhaps more accurately, the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine did a fact check on that. And you should really look for that. You should really look for that very, very effective fact check from the kind of medical professionals that Dr. Levine is referring to about the HHS information sheet. Now, on this group, the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine, really don't have a very good acronym, SEBGM, just doesn't work. You might have heard more about this group, the society, except a lot of times some of their views just don't make it into the conversation. We're going to discuss why that happens next.
Elon Musk buys Twitter and the left is freaking out. I'm Sarah Carter on the latest Sarah Carter Show. I'll tell you why this is really important news and why there's so much hysteria over expanding free speech. I'll also be joined by former Border Patrol agent Gary Brugman to discuss the tragic death of Texas National Guardsman Bishop Evans in the Rio Grande while trying to save lives. Don't miss it. Follow the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, I was going to talk about why you haven't heard more about the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine. You know, before I do that, I want to ask you to subscribe to the podcast. If you've been listening to it, enjoying it, maybe even learning something from it, it'd be great if you could subscribe to it. It'd be good for you. You'd get the Byron York Show on a regular basis. You can do it at iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, and it'd be great for us too. So please remember, subscribe to the podcast. Now, you might have seen more about this group, the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine, except its members' views are sometimes censored by major medical organizations. For example, last year, in August of last year, the Wall Street Journal reported that the American Academy of Pediatrics, big deal, barred the Society for Evidence-Based Gender Medicine from setting up a booth at the American Academy of Pediatrics annual conference. One of the doctors in the society, Dr. Julia Mason, a doctor, told the journal, quote, "The American Association of Pediatrics is working very hard to give an appearance that everything's been decided and there's no debate." Does that sound familiar? That's exactly what Dr. Levine is doing now. It's exactly the rhetorical tactic that Dr. Levine is doing now. That's exactly what the Biden administration is trying to do now. Dr. Levine has declared the argument among medical professionals to be over. And of course, there's a political argument, as there should be, because lawmakers who make laws are usually not doctors. There's a few doctors in the House and the Senate, but lawmakers are not doctors. They're not experts. Our system is not set up where our laws are made by experts. They're made by the representatives we elect to make our laws. So there's a lot of debate. This is what the administration is trying to do, to declare it over. The argument is over. And amazingly enough, the new consensus agrees with Dr. Rachel Levine. Really. And now the administration is going to move to the next step. Since the debate is over, and since there is a scientific consensus in favor of gender-affirming treatment, those who are still criticizing gender-affirming treatment for young people, they're not debating the facts anymore. They are attacking their fellow human beings. So let's go to the speech that Dr. Levine gave at TCU, Texas Christian University. Don't have audio for it. Maybe if I find it, I'll be able to play it. Don't have it right now. But the people who are still arguing about gender-affirming treatments for young people are not debating the facts anymore. That's all settled. They're attacking their fellow human beings. Quote, this is from Dr. Levine, "Those who now attack our LGBTQI plus community are driven by an agenda that has nothing to do with medicine, nothing to do with science, and nothing to do with warmth, empathy, compassion, or understanding. They're rejecting the value of supportive medicine, rejecting well-established science, and rejecting basic human compassion. They prefer slander, bigotry, and gender-baiting hate speech." Okay, so that is what Dr. Levine says you are doing. If you question the wisdom of irreversible gender-affirming treatments for young people, "Those who now attack our LGBTQI plus community are driven by an agenda that has nothing to do with medicine, nothing to do with science, and nothing to do with warmth, empathy, compassion, or understanding," says Dr. Levine. "They're rejecting the value of supportive medicine, rejecting well-established science, and rejecting basic human compassion. They prefer slander, bigotry, and gender-baiting hate speech." Okay, so that's where the administration is right now. And you look at that. You reject the value of supportive medicine. You reject well-established science. You reject basic human compassion, and you're engaging in slander and bigotry and gender-baiting hate speech. I mean, who would want to do that? Who would want to risk being accused of slander, of bigotry, of gender-baiting, to risk reputation and livelihood for questioning the wisdom of gender-affirming care for minors? Better to just be quiet. After all, Dr. Levine says the argument is over, at least for as long as Dr. Levine and the Biden administration are in power. So that's what I wanted to discuss today. Not sure you always listen to NPR. You might have missed Dr. Levine there, or read the transcripts of speeches to HHS officials make. But there's something really interesting going on from the Biden administration on the transgender issue, this decree that the administration has made, and Dr. Levine being the leader in enforcing this. So that's what I wanted you to know about. Glad you could join us. Always glad you when you can join us. And hope you can join us again soon for another edition of the Byron York Show.